Willie and D Mace on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick this week. Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here as well, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So we had a Titans game on Saturday. Titans win 17-13 against the San Francisco 49ers in preseason action. But there was also another element of the Titans game that had a lot of people talking before the game, and that was the parking situation at Nissan Stadium.
Yes.
Now that the
east parking lot is gone.
Yes. So according to our friend David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner, the construction of the new stadium eliminated lots A, B, C, and D, which accounted for roughly half of the 7,000 parking spots that were on the stadium grounds. So the Titans did a full court PR press to make sure that fans knew that it was going to be harder to park. I believe all of the, if I read correctly, I can't remember where I read it. It might have been Nick Suss in the Tennessean or Beauclair in the Nashville Banner, that all of the on-site parking has been spoken for this season. So if you didn't pay for parking, you can't park on site. Just there's fewer spots. So the Titans encouraged their fans to park elsewhere, you know, around the stadium, downtown. They have bus routes that are going to the stadium, a lot of different elements of it. But I'm very curious to hear on our phone and text line 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Those of you who attended the game, what your experience was like parking for the game now that the construction of the new stadium has eliminated a significant amount of the available parking on site at the current Nissan Stadium. Now, we in Nashville are blessed for a lot of reasons. It helps that Nissan Stadium is just a stone's throw across the Cumberland River from downtown. I mean, if you can throw a stone that far, that's a pretty good throw. But it's right there, so there's plenty of parking downtown. I know that, you know, I have a friend who lives in Massachusetts. And I was listening to him on his own podcast talk about he went to go see Metallica at Gillette Stadium, home of the New England Patriots. And Gillette Stadium is in Foxborough, Massachusetts, which I think is like 25, 30 miles outside of Boston. So there's one, I believe there's one main road, Route 1, that stretches from the interstate to get you to Gillette Stadium. Mm. And I think the traffic was so bad, it took him, I feel like he said like 3 or 4 hours from it took him at least 2 or 3 hours from the time he got off the highway to get to parking at Gillette Stadium, just because it was this, you know, one or two lane road stretching from the interstate to Gillette Stadium. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, we here in Nashville don't have that issue. The stadium's right downtown. There's plenty of parking. There's plenty of public transportation. But it is going to be a challenge because when the Titans open their regular season at home, week two, if I'm not mistaken, against the New York Jets, there's going to be a lot more people than there were yesterday or Saturday, excuse me, going to the game. So I'm very curious to hear what the parking situation was like for the first preseason game and what we can expect during the regular season.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it was something that, you know, those that regularly attended games, they had to get used to. I had a buddy of mine that he's a ticket holder. And they took away his parking, you know, his access to parking because it's on the east side of the stadium. Mm-hmm. And they got to park, they park across the bridge. There's a parking structure I think they assigned to them. So they will have somewhere to park, but then you got to walk over the bridge, which is, I think, from where they have them parked, 10, 15, maybe a 15 minute walk. Now, on days like it was Saturday, it was a perfect day, so you don't mind walking. But when it's 99 degrees and you're walking, that may, you know, you may want to bring you an extra T-shirt or a couple bottles of water. Or when it's freezing cold and you got to walk across that bridge, you better pack you a, you know, extra parker or something, some scarves or something to walk across that bridge. But I would love to hear, or we would love to hear, you know, fans, were you able to still park on site? Maybe you had a parking pass on the other side of the stadium, the west side of the stadium, or if you did have a parking spot on the east side of the stadium, where did you end up parking if indeed you didn't park in one of these structures that they assigned to some of the people that own parking spots on the east side of the stadium. So because it's only going to get your experience Saturday will be a different experience come the second, the first game, the first home game of the season. Many people don't come to preseason games, so you probably were able to get in and out, even though the stadium did seem kind of full in a sense, but I'm sure it wasn't a sold out. Come first home game of the season, yeah, you may have to get there a tad bit early in order to park wherever you need to park and then walk across that bridge. Actually, it might be, well, no, I'm not going to say it's going to be a little bit more, it's going to be better because you got to get in and out of parking structure. So, and that line is going to be long. So I just want to know, where did you park? Did you have trouble finding a parking space on the west side of the Cumberland? Or did they assign a parking space? You went there, got your parking space, was able to walk across the bridge with no problem. We'd love to hear. Either or, 615-737-1025.
So a Titans spokesperson said to the Nashville Banner that there are 20,000 spots located within a mile of the stadium. And another thing to note is that those spots that were eliminated are not going to be rebuilt because that's where the multi-use, you know, the multi-purpose area that they're building around the stadium is going to go. So this is the beginning of a new norm if you are a Titans fan attending games and driving to games, not having as much available parking around the stadium. So it was just as much of a dress rehearsal as, you know, as the players on the field in terms of how to get there. Now, I live on the east side of town. Mm-hmm. And my experience going to Titans games, honestly, is I have my wife drive me as close to the stadium as she can, as she can, and I just get out and walk the rest of the way. So I'm spoiled. But for people who, you know, people who do not live in Nashville or need to drive, you know, I think that it's going to be, it's certainly going to be more difficult. We have one texter who says, I'm a disabled veteran with extremely limited mobility. I had to park past Bridgestone and walk. It's BS, and they should have prepared for this. I mean, I don't know how much, it sounds like they did a lot of preparation. This is not to minimize the experience that this person had. But, you know, not everybody can walk a long distance. I mean, a lot of times when I go to events downtown or nearby, I usually end up parking at Music City Center. And it's easy to get around from there sort of because it's centrally located. But not everybody can walk from Music City Center to, say, across the pedestrian bridge to their seat at Nissan Stadium. It's going to be difficult. But, you know, this, as I said, this is a new norm moving forward just because those spots are not going to be replaced. Now, as according to David Beauclair, the parking spots that have been eliminated will not simply be replaced. Instead, the East Bank will be developed into a multi-use complex that includes green space, commercial, and residential properties. And more, the alteration to parking options and scenarios that have been in place for 24 years is not temporary. So what you experienced on Saturday will be what you experience moving forward. Another texter says they need a shuttle system. I believe they are working with public with WeGo buses,
I think it's WeGo that will shuttle people back and forth. Nick, what are for the people that don't have any names, we would love for you to put your names down. But if you don't worry about it. Don't panic. What are we going with today?
We did Marvel last week, right?
We did DC, we did Marvel, we did Motown Record. We did Motown. So what now?
Adam, you're the guest host today. What do you feel?
Okay, we call unnamed texters something?
Yes. Like last week, we had Marvel. So some people with Captain America, if they didn't put their name down.
I named somebody Funnel Cake. Yeah. Like, it was just something different.
Okay, let's see. What should I do here? Disney characters.
Okay. Let's go with Disney.
My son is big into Disney. Disney Plus gets a workout on the TV. This is not an unnamed texter. Randy says he parked at Green Hills Mall and took Uber.
Oh, wow.
Randy, I'd love to know where you're coming from.
Where are you coming from
that you would park at Green Hills and take an Uber? Because that's not a short ride. I mean, it's not long.
Dixon, maybe? I mean, goodness gracious.
Randy, follow up.
Franklin or... somewhere out in that area.
Let me know where you're from. Ben in Cumberland City says, it's wild that they aren't replacing those parking spots. The city has a major infrastructure problem. Build, build, build without thinking the consequences for others. Good thing the games are on Sundays and less going on downtown than on weekdays. I mean, that is true. You know, there are a lot of spots, but they're going to quickly fill up. And the one thing that the Titans have emphasized is make sure that you have a plan before you go. Mm-hmm. So don't just go and say, I'm going to look for it. Randy says he's coming from Franklin.
Oh, I kind of figured it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Randy drove from Franklin to Green Hills Mall, parked, and took an Uber. That's one way to go about it. Parking at Green Hills Mall isn't easy.
No, not nowadays. Goodness gracious. So, okay, I want to, Randy, and quickly, because we have Caleb and Gallatin too as well, but we'll get to that in a second. Randy, was it, it was probably easier parking at Green Hills and then catching an Uber to the game. But the problem with that is Uber after the game.
Yes.
You know, getting Uber after the game. Now, it may have been, and I'm sure, Randy, you can text us back and let us know. During the preseason, it may have been a little bit easier to get you an Uber and get back. But during the season, I don't know if you're going to get an Uber there and back, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. Man, that's crazy.
Might as well just rent a boat and just park it on the Cumberland.
Exactly. Okay, we got Caleb in Gallatin on Fox 17 website. They have a page with places to park around the stadium, and they have them all highlighted on the page. I'll definitely be using the page when I go to a game this season. That's Caleb from Gallatin.
Yeah, it's important to, and that's, as I said, the Titans have emphasized that you need to have a plan before you go. Know where you're going to park. I mean, I think some of these places probably have prepaid options, so you can make you can make sure that you will have a spot when you get there. But yeah, I mean, the stadium, we're spoiled that both Nissan Stadium and Bridgestone Arena are smack dab downtown. We know how easy it is to get, or easy can be relative, how convenient it can be. Which is also relative to for Bridgestone Arena. It's easier for others than for, you know, it's easier for some than others, but you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens when the regular season starts. You have out of town fans coming in. Now they're probably not driving, but you know, it's going to be congested. Mm-hmm. So it will be interesting to see, what happens there. But I didn't see attendance for the preseason game. Did either of you see attendance figures for the preseason games?
Figure.
I mean, it looked like on television it was a pretty decent crowd for a preseason game. Everyone's excited that football is back, but you know, this is going to be something that bears monitoring throughout the regular season, because it is going to be difficult for people to park, more difficult I should say. Wes in Clarksville says, year before last, I parked at Recycling Place, and it was $40. Is this a specific recycling place?
Which recycling place are you?
I don't know.
I just love this conversation. One, because if you're a local like myself, I know I'm only just in my mid-20s, but you know, you've lived in the Nashville area long enough, you got family, friends, or friends that own places downtown. Or
oh, you can park there. Yeah.
You can park for free. Exactly. I just love it. So all the old school locals that know anything about everything about Nashville, you just park where you need to park.
Mark,
you don't got to pay.
Mark H. says, why not provide busing from local mall parking lots? Charge a standard fee from Hickory Hollow, Cool Springs, Galleria, et cetera. I mean, that is one way to go about it, and I do believe that the Titans – are going to have some shuttle service, not from malls, though. Mm. There are going to be 4 bus routes, according to the Nashville Banner, that will add a stop across the river and basically take them right to the stadium. Those are Route 4, Shelby, Route 14, Whites Creek, Route 23, Dickerson Pike, and Route 56, Gallatin Pike. Drivers who park on the downtown side of the Cumberland River can access WeGo buses at the WeGo Central Station on Union Street across from the Metro Courthouse. The cost of that service is $2 each way for now, but the hope is ultimately it can be offered at no cost. Mm. So there are ways, but that is an interesting place. So Wes in Clarksville says the recycling place is the metal place that you can see from the interstate.
Is that the – that's not the landfill place, is it? No, that's not it.
I don't believe so.
No,
but
it's
can
not.
Be it buy
can't,
it,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, maybe somewhere in that area.
Mickey Mouse on the text line says the recycling place is the giant scrapyard beside it. You can't miss it. I guess I have.
So that was it, what
I
was
so.
saying. Someone on my feed here in Instagram, Leslie Carter. I said somebody, but it's Leslie Carter. Parking was a nightmare Saturday, but loved the game.
And that's all that matters, isn't it?
Yeah, that as you loved the game. You went to the game. You got in, and you loved it. I guess you'll worry about parking once you come out of the stadium.
And you walk away with $80 of a hole in your wallet because of parking.
Well, speaking of that, Cole in Nashville says, this is for Randy. Uh-huh. Cole to Randy, for the driver that just said they parked at Green Hills and got dropped off, there's no way they didn't spend at least $70 to get there and back on Uber. Should have just parked downtown and walked across the bridge. Well, again, it's
relative. I mean, maybe he didn't have a parking pass or anything. Maybe it was going to cost him just as much to park downtown than it would have the Uber drive. But you're talking both ways. So, you know, depending on when he went, I could see it was a Saturday. So it had to be at least, like you said, $50, $60.
And there might have been surge pricing if a lot of people were trying to get to the game, though I don't know how many people were trying to Uber from the game from Green Hills.
Yeah.
But Will in Kentucky sums it up nicely. Titans fans, welcome to Nashville SC parking problems.
Yeah, I guess so.
Pretty much so.
Haven't had that problem recently, but I mean, hey, not too bad.
But that was one of the big stories of Geodis Park's opening was the lack of parking around the fairgrounds. So Titans fans, according to Will in Kentucky, now getting a taste of what Nashville SC supporters have been going through. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to get your thoughts on the parking situation. If you went to the game on Saturday, how did you navigate it? How do you intend to navigate it when the season starts? Many different ways we've already heard. We'll get to it. Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Soar Adventure Tower, where there's adventure for everyone of all ages. Get a $100 gift card for just $50 and book family fun. Your next office outing or birthday party, Soar Adventure Tower is 4 levels of fun with easy to difficult obstacles to choose. Plus, there's an 18-hole mini golf course. Get your $100 gift card for just $50 now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. That sounds fun. I love mini golf. Growing up in a beach town, I was kicking some butt. Jungle Golf, specifically. Shout out Jungle Golf in Virginia Beach, Virginia. That's where it was at. Adam Vigan, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here with you on Monday. Talking about the parking aspect of Nissan Stadium, now that the construction of the new stadium is well underway, eliminating, according to the Nashville Banner, about half of the parking that was available on-site at Nissan Stadium. So it's going to make parking more complicated for people just because there's fewer on-site parkings. Mm-hmm. But we've been getting plenty of texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I was using Disney characters. Goofy.
There we go.
Goofy texted in and said, paid $40 to park all the way down at Cross Point Church a half mile away to have to walk with my 2 5-year-olds, then spent $100 on dinner, might honestly keep me from going back. And that wasn't the only text we received about the parking situation, perhaps causing people to think twice about coming downtown for a game.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm sure the Tennessee Titans, they had to have known well in advance. Like, listen, okay, what percentage, as you're sort of putting all this stuff together and projecting numbers, you have to project the percentage of people that, because you took away those parking spots, will not come to the game. I'm sure they had to factor that in. Now, was it closer to the number, meaning below the number, or was it above what the Tennessee Titans had projected that people chose not to come to the game because those parking spots on the east side of the stadium are all gone, because that's where the new stadium is going to be. How many of those people chose not to come? Now, again, it was a preseason game, so a lot of people didn't show up anyway. But come the first home game of the regular season versus the Jets, we're going to see truly how much the building of the new stadium and the elimination of those parking spaces will hamper or, you know, hamper the Titans as far as their attendance per game.
We did get a text from Jiminy Cricket.
Okay.
Something that I didn't consider, and maybe you guys can help me out with this. What effect will the parking situation have on the tailgate scene prior to big games? The atmosphere might suffer. Now, I haven't had the pleasure of attending a pregame Titans tailgate. Nobody has invited me. Someone needs to invite me to a Titans tailgate. I live not too far from the stadium. I can bring something. My wife is an excellent baker, so if you want some baked goods, I can provide the baked goods to counteract the hot dogs and the brats and the burgers and all of those things. But that is a good question. I mean, I don't know what lot A, B, C, and D were in terms of tailgating or what the tailgating situation is like. But that is an element of it that I hadn't considered.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to have to come into play this season because of the elimination of over half. And we're talking about not a temporary elimination. They're gone, period.
Correct.
So where now are there permanent spots going to be where they're at now? Or once the stadium's finished, are they going to add more parking to that side of the Cumberland, not necessarily where the old spots used to be, but I'm sure they're building parking structures over on the east side of the river. So how many of those parking spaces will come back, you know, once the stadium is done? But right now, Titans fans know what they have to deal with. I think they're still going to come. Football is like, it's like air to people. Like, they gotta have it no matter what the circumstance is. So if you've eliminated 7,000 or 8,000 or 14,000, people are still going to find a way to come, whether it be, you know, carpooling or like one of our callers, park in Green Hills and then get an Uber to the stadium. Football fans will find a way to the football game.
Yes.
That's just the way it is.
That is true. Lenny on the text line says he lives in Midtown, takes the bus, and then walks across the bridge. Joey from Bellevue says he always parks at the Music City Center. Make sure to stop by to say hello to you, Derek, Jared, and Chris during the pregame show.
Oh, perfect.
After the game, he takes his son somewhere on Broadway to eat before we head home. Let's see who else. I mean, that, like, It is interesting. As I said, I'm spoiled. When I first moved to Nashville in 2015, I had an apartment in the Gulch area, closer to where Capitol View is now on that side of 11th Avenue, so I could walk to Bridgestone Arena for Predators games. Now I live in East Nashville. As I said, you know, I live about less than a 10-minute drive from the stadium. I can have my wife or someone drop me off as close to the stadium as they can before the roads close, and I can walk the rest of the way. Not everybody has that luxury. And as you said, Derek, I mean, football fans, if they want to watch their team play, they will find a way. Mm-hmm. But not everybody has the financial means to pay a significant amount or the physical means to walk a significant amount to get to the game. So it will certainly be a challenge, and we'll see what happens in week two when the Titans open at home against the New York Jets, what that situation looks like. But, you know, we'll see. We'll also see what the parking situation is like once the Wes in Clarksville says pregame is now at your bank's parking lot playing cornhole with your debit card in the ATM. So parking is expensive. I mean, I remember I was going to 5th and Broadway, which is that big structure across the street now from Bridgestone Arena with the food hall and all the restaurants and shops. And I was going to 5th and Broadway to go to one of the stores there. And it happened that there was an event at Bridgestone Arena that afternoon that I was not attending. So I go down the ramp underground to 5th and Broadway, and there was event parking. And the event parking was like $40. Mm. And I was like, I'm just going to a store. So it's $40 if I want to go to the store? He said yes. Like, it's just, it was a flat rate, regardless if you were going to the event at Bridgestone or not, to get into the 5th and Broadway parking lot, you had to pay $40. I said, no thanks, and helped, and they had to help me turn around, and I left. I ended up parking, like, by Cummins Station.
Okay.
I found a free, it was a Sunday, so I found, you know, no street, no meters on that day. Had to park at Cummins Station and walk, and for me, it was fine. It was a nice day, but again, you know, if you're not able to physically, and one texter mentioned that he had 2 5-year-olds. My son is about to be 3 years old. It's not easy to walk anywhere with a toddler, because most of the time, my son, who's now pushing 40 pounds, wants to be carried. And like I've got great upper body strength as a result of my son wanting to be carried, but walking half a mile, three quarters of a mile with a 35 to 40 pound year old human on your arm is not easy. So
no. Just put him on your shoulders. Just make sure
he doesn't like being on my shoulders. He gets a little timid up there.
You know, you should tell him, hey, watch out for the signs, man. That's all I gotta tell you.
he's a sidler. Like he likes to be on the side.
He's a hip baby.
He's a hip baby, and he always likes to be on the left. He does not like what it feels like to be on the right. So very particular, my son. So I can empathize with Titans fans with children who are gonna have to worry about carrying them for up to a mile potentially. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's gonna be a challenge, but I do think, to your point, Derek, that fans are going to want to be at the game, and they will do what they have to do, even if it's kudos to Randy, who, as he said earlier, drove from Franklin to Green Hills, took an Uber from Green Hills to the stadium, Uber back to Green Hills, and then drove to Franklin. That's dedication for a preseason game, let alone a regular season game.
I told you, football fans, football is like air. They need it, and they're going to find every way to get it. It don't matter if they eliminated half the parking spaces, they ain't got no parking spaces, they don't care. Football fans, for a regular season game, if their team is doing good, they will come. They don't care about the parking space.
That's going to be an interesting game, week 2 against the New York Jets. I think the Jets open in San Francisco. I think that's one of the first big nationally televised games before the Jets come to Nissan Stadium. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers will remain upright by that time, considering he made it 4 or 5 plays into his season last year before suffering a debilitating Achilles injury. Jack is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, presumably to talk about the parking situation. Jack, go ahead.
You know, ultimately, for the Titans, everybody in those stands are a customer, if you think about it. And not only is it going to be like this for the next several years while they're building the new one, it's going to be another several years after that while they tear down the old one. And I would suggest that here it is, come and get it however you can get here, and we really don't care how you get here. Plus, the nosebleed prices they're going to charge for the new place is probably not a good look.
No, probably not. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, Adam, because he's right. You have the parking problems now. But when a new stadium is built, they got to demolish the old stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still going to have a period where that whole area is going to be, developed.
Yes.
The stadium's going to be there. There's going to be parking sort of in that area. But the area where the stadium is currently sitting, that will be demolished, and they will start building from there. So like Jack said, you're talking about 3 years of bad parking now, and then another year, two, possibly longer than that, as they develop that area around the stadium. You're talking about being inconvenienced even more. But like I said 10 minutes ago, football fans, football is like air to them. They need it, they will find it, and they will get it. So if you don't have no parking spaces, they still will come.
I mean, I feel like I've got an extra spot in my driveway. I think my driveway can accommodate 3 vehicles. So maybe I'll offer some parking on my property, which is in East Nashville. It's about maybe a 10-minute, less than 10-minute Uber drive, so maybe I'll make a quick buck.
Hey, I can make some money. You can park in my driveway, and I'll be your Uber. I just drop you off. I ain't saying I'm going to pick you back up, but
that'll
I can
cost
drop
you extra.
Off. Yeah, I can drop you off, and
I if you've seen Derek's car, you'll be arriving in style. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I can pick you up after the game, but it's going to cost you a pretty penny. It's going to cost you a pretty penny,
I mean,
but I can do it.
There are going to be. It's going to be very interesting to see how Titans fans handle this. You know, a lot of really good teams coming to town this year. Mm-hmm. Not just the division, you know, not just the division rivals, of course, Houston, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis.
Those are going to be games,
too. Those are going to be good games, but you've got the New York Jets coming to town, the Green Bay Packers coming to town, the Patriots. I mean, their Patriots aren't great anymore, but they have a loyal following. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals coming to town. There's going to be some good games, marquee names that are coming to town. So plenty of people are going to want to go. And it'll be a challenge for the Titans in the city to see how they can accommodate all of the parking. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation as well. But coming up next, I want to get Derek's thoughts on the new dynamic kickoff that we saw, you know, for the first time here, and it's been introduced this season, and we'll break that down because I don't know if you know this, but Derek used to return kicks in the NFL. So he might know a thing or two about this. 615-737-1025. Indy racing fans, the Big Machine Indy show car will be on display this Friday at Soar Adventure Tower in Franklin. Come check it out this Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And while you're there, register to win tickets to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick, Darren Basin, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie and D-Mace on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick this week. Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here. Good discussion on the Titans' new parking situation as the new stadium is under construction. As I mentioned, I've learned that unnamed texters, we have a theme for that, so I picked Disney characters because I watch so much Disney, my eyes fall out with my son. So Wreck-It Ralph on the text line said, man, a ride to the Titan to a Titan game with the great D-Mace? Hell, I'll figure out a way home. Yeah, you'll get there. Who knows if you're getting back, and don't touch the radio.
You
very important.
Not touch the radio.
Don't touch the radio.
Is that a thing in your car, D-Mace?
Yeah, you don't touch the radio. Only person who gets to touch the radio, the kids, they take the aux. Mm. They always had aux.
See, I am one of those drivers that, you know, if there's a song I don't like, I change the channel. I'm very quick with it. Mm-hmm. My wife, it drives her bananas. She always gets very annoyed with me in the car because, like, I'll listen to part of a song. Oh, I like this song. Then the next song will come on. I'm like, don't like it. Change the channel. And I keep flipping until I find something. It's usually a test of our resolve to see if I can actually keep a station on for two or three songs at a time.
I just give whoever's in my car the aux, like the luxury for it. The thing I don't like is when people are just like, oh, this song's great. They'll put it up to 38. I'm like, man, you're maxing out my speakers. You want to buy me new speakers? I'm fine with that. Don't blare out my ears. I'm not deaf.
It's not as prevalent as it once was, I think, or maybe I haven't seen it in a while, mm-hmm. but the people who turn their bass all the way up so you're coming to a stop sign and you hear boom, boom. And the ground is shaking, and I can only imagine what it's like inside that car.
You're talking about just about all these kids nowadays. They love their music loud or their headphones loud. So
I am guilty of the loud headphones. I'm sure my hearing is not too good
because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So here in Tennessee, we saw the debut of the new, what the NFL is calling, dynamic kickoff in the Titans' preseason win against the San Francisco 49ers on Saturday. Kearse Jackson took the first one 60-plus yards mm-hmm. to set up the Titans' first-team offense with great field position. But the point of this new kickoff format, which I believe was adopted somewhat from the XFL, great mm-hmm. to see the NFL taking from the XFL. Shout out to the XFL, the original XFL, not this new XFL. I'm talking about He Hate Me era XFL. You know, Las Vegas Outlaws and things of that nature. It's supposed to encourage fewer touchbacks mm-hmm. and lower the number of injuries that occur on kickoffs. So, Derek, as someone who returned kicks in the NFL, mm-hmm. what were your thoughts on the new rule, and do you like what the NFL is trying to do to make the kickoffs actually meaningful? Because really, at this point, there are very few returns in the NFL, at least up until this change. There were just so many touchbacks mm-hmm. that it just felt like the guy who was sitting back there could, you know, he could trim his nails when the ball goes up because he's not fielding it. He's just going to let it soar out of bounds.
Well, I mean, you have to know why the NFL chose to take away the kickoff. A lot of it was because of the whole concussion lawsuit that the NFL was involved in. So they were trying to minimize risk of concussions. So they took the one play that I'm sure they had that they had numbers on that or data on that says, hey, listen, this play may cause, you know, more concussions than just about any other play. Now, how much more? I don't know. But if it was 1% more, the NFL was going to do something about it. So the NFL decided to just basically eliminate it without eliminating it because everything was kickbacks and there was no penalty for a, you know, kick out of the back of the end zone. If you downed it in the end zone, you got kicked out of the back of the end zone, you still were starting at the 25. If you returned it, you were starting wherever you returned it. And I think not just the NFL, the hierarchies of the NFL, I don't think they really cared. I think the special team coaches, I think head coaches, I think they started to hear more and more feedback from fans. Like, that play should have never been removed from the game of football. I understand why you did it. I understand the protection. But again, you don't care too much about the players. You want to add another game. So you can't tell me you care about the players and then add another game. It makes no sense to me. It's an oxymoron, sort of. But you took it away because you said this play causes more injuries or anything else than any other play. Instead of really doing a deep dive into how to change it but still have it be effective in the game, you had to go to an XFL league to figure out, you know, how do you get this kickoff back in the game when it shouldn't have been eliminated in the first place. I like the new kickoff rule. Everything has been pretty vanilla, you know, as far as blocking scheme. But we're going to see, once the first game of the season starts, I think we're going to see more of, you know, what is going to be moving forward. I love that you have to return the ball. If you don't, then there's a penalty to kicking the ball out of the end zone or not kicking it within that, what do they call it, the yellow zone or the drop zone, not kicking it inside the drop zone. So these kickers have – now what this does too, it puts a premium on the kicker. Because the kicker has to drop it in that drop box perfectly. I've seen some this week where the kicker still kicked out of the back of the end zone. Where do you start? 30-yard line. I think on some, you even start at the 35.
The landing zone is what
it was. Yeah, the landing zone. If you don't kick it in the landing zone, you have you have great field position. Because what it seems like to me at this point, that it's better to just kick it in that zone, because it doesn't seem like they're getting any more yardage than they would have gotten had the old rules been in place. I'm talking about the rules before they took away, you know, kickoffs. They're starting to right around, I think a lot of these are starting right around the 25, 27-yard line, somewhere around there, and some even like the 20-yard line. So this, what it does is it brings us back to what it used to be. Either you're going to get a big return or you're going to get just an average return or not a return. But it gives us the ability to watch a play and know there could be a return or they could be a big play. Last year before that, nobody stayed for the kickoff. Everybody, if it was halftime, not many people came back for the kickoff because they knew it was going to be kicked out of the back of the end zone. So why even come back? But because of them wanting more returns, and I'm sure a lot of it had to do with betting too,
mm-hmm.
because I can't bet on a kickoff return. Well, I can, but the likelihood of, you know, it being a return is very slim. So now they can put betting back on the kickoff return. Now we can earn money on the kickoff return, whereas last year, a year before, we couldn't because they're just going to kick out of back of the end zone. But I love it. As a returner, former returner, I was not with them eliminating because to me that eliminates a spot on your team. Now you've brought it back in. Now it add a spot or two back to your team because now that particular play is going to be a play that can be a home run now. Last year, year before that, it couldn't be because they were just kicking out the back of the end zone.
And we saw it for the Titans, as I mentioned, first kickoff they took this preseason, Kyaris Jackson returns at 63 yards. You know, so Titans fans got a really, an encouraging introduction to the new rule. This is according to the NFL from the Associated Press. There were 1,970 touchbacks on kickoffs last season that can now be returns. There were 92 fair catches last season that are no longer allowed. Because as you said, Derek, any ball caught in the field of play must be returned. So you mentioned the landing zone. According to the NFL, the landing zone is the area between the receiving team's goal line and its 20-yard line. Mm-hmm. Any kick that hits short of the landing zone is treated like a kickoff out of bounds and the ball is spotted at the 40-yard line. Play would be blown dead as soon as the kick lands short of the landing zone. Any kick that hits in the landing zone must be returned. Any kick that hits in the landing zone and then goes into the end zone must be returned or downed by the receiving team. If downed, then touchback to the 20. Kick hits in end zone stays in bounds, returned or downed. If downed, then touchback to 30. Any kick that goes out of the back of the end zone, touchback to 30.
So the incentive is to return the football.
Yes.
Yeah, because again, I think that you're going to start to see, and hopefully, our guy is one of those special teams coaches, but you're going to start to see them earn their money because now they got to set up returns. Now they have to set up, how are we going to, kick the ball? Now you got to get a kicker that can place the ball in certain areas. No longer do I don't need a strong leg kicker anymore. I don't. These strong leg kickers for kickoffs at least. I need a specialist for kickoff now. A specialist, a guy or girl, whichever, that can put it in those corners in between the goal line and the 20 or hit that ball so high that when you get it, the guys have more of an opportunity to stop you than not. So I love this rule. I love the way that they're implementing this new rule. I hope that we see more kickoff returns for touchdowns than we've seen in the last couple of years. I know we're going to see more kickoff returns, period. But it just brings a part of the game, an exciting part of the game, back. Again, I know why the NFL took it out, but they could have found a better way to still keep it a main part of the football game where fans didn't leave once their team scored to go use the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, the kickoff return to me was one of the most exciting plays in football just because of how rare it was relative to other plays. We just saw Devin Hester enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The guy made a career out of kickoff returns. I mean, it was when he was back there and he was about to receive a kickoff, you had to watch because you never know. What was it? He returned a kickoff in the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah, he returned a kickoff in the Super Bowl, first play of the game.
Right. Like, that's the kind of stuff that as a fan, I certainly miss just because it's, as you said, if I'm watching a game on TV and it's halftime, I don't need to be in my seat right when the game comes back on because I know that it's just going to be, and the ball goes out of the end zone for a touchback, and here comes the quarterback for, from the 30-yard line. Like, it's, it's an element of the game that I feel like has been missing, that excitement. So I too like the idea that teams are now going to be forced to bring that back, and hopefully that can lead to, as you said, guys that would otherwise not have jobs in the NFL, could become household names potentially if they are able to bust one out on the kickoff return.
Yeah, you're going to have your opportunities. Listen, many of people have made their or cut their teeth playing special teams, more importantly, returning the football. And for the NFL to take it out for 2-3 years, they saw how much of an impact it was negatively. Yes, you probably didn't get as many concussions, but you had to put that play back in the game somehow, some way. And luckily, the XFL chose to sort of do something different to make theirs exciting, you know, and the NFL chose to do it as well. So, yeah, listen, I'm glad they brought it back. Hopefully we'll see more returns. I mean, return for touchdowns. We're going to see definitely more returns, but hopefully we see more return for touchdowns than we've seen in the last couple of years.
615-737-1025. What are your thoughts on the new dynamic kickoff rules that have debuted this NFL preseason? 615-737-1025. We can get into that and so much more with our friend Teron Davenport of ESPN.com. He will join us next for his breakdown of the Titans' 17-13 preseason win against the San Francisco 49ers. Who impressed TD? We'll get into all of that and more on the other side. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick this week. Derek Mason, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.